Hey everyone, welcome to the Untitled Basketball Hot Take Podcast. Here with host who has restarted this take because I didn't like my first title, Jared.
I'm a resident dog haver, Joe.
And the resident hoops haver, Will.
Oh, again.
Done it again.
Again, this guy.
And I'm not talking to hula hoops, folks. You feel me?
Let's get into some news. Not a lot of news this week. We do have Hoiberg was fired. Like, today.
Today, yes.
Which is Monday, December 3rd, by the way.
This is very much like one of those, the dictator who hasn't really had power, or like the king who's been a figurehead for years is finally just like assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
That's what today felt like.
Mercy killed, more like, yeah. I think.
I was like, oh, is the real coach going to take over now? Is Jimmy Butler going to finally coach the Bulls?
No. I'll raise you one more. Former interim Bucks coach Jim Boylan. Huh?
Very interesting because in this case, this nation of Chicago will not improve one bit.
Yeah, weird timing for firing him. Like, Lauri Markkanen's back, and they're like, all right, Lauri's back. Fred, you're out. No more coaching Markkanen. That was their only firm stance as an organization.
This is a conspiracy podcast now. let's see, more news. The Warriors, there's this story that broke about last season. I'm trying to pull it up really quick. Here it is.
David West, back in the spotlight.
Yeah, David West, he, was it over summer? I think he said some cryptic things. We're able to get through that, then they'll be able to get through this. He said some weird stuff over the summer about like, oh, once you hear about what happened last season, you'll know. And everyone's like, what? So this story broke from The Athletic. I'm just going to quote the tweet that links to the article. We'll retweet the article. Remember David West's infinite post-finals comments when he said people would be shocked about what happened behind the scenes last year? Sources with knowledge of the situation have told at Sam Amick that the Warriors dealt with a team-wide meningitis scare in mid-March.
No, thank you.
I'll pass.
Really not what I expected when I heard like David's post-finals comments.
Yeah.
It was very much like, oh, there's some drama, and they're like, all of our players almost got diseases.
Yeah, I figured it'd just be like, oh, there were some disagreements or something.
Like the Draymond Durant situation from a couple weeks ago. Like, yeah. That's what I was picturing.
Yeah.
But
I was thinking a lot like
just egos clashing.
The old famous Draymond, I'm not a robot, like rant at Steve Kerr. I just figured that it happened again.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, it just wasn't that serious of a thing. It was just like adversity. But this is like a legitimate, like, oh, this could have like seriously harmed some players.
Warriors team has brushed with death, and it's like, oh.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, we're not going to read the whole story, but we'll link it. It's interesting. It's news. It's meningitis. Typically, not good. That's my take.
When I first saw like the headline, I don't think I'd instantly realized that it was from last season. I thought it was like this year they had a scare, and I was like, does meningitis just like follow Boogie Cousins around?
Oh, I forgot about that.
I was about to feel terrible for him.
I guess he's fine. I mean, he wasn't there, I guess.
Maybe he's immune now. Maybe he was like the one who eradicated it.
Just every, I wish it was every time any team had a meningitis problem, like Mike Malone gets fired again.
Yep, they heard Boogie's gotten through it, so they wanted him on the team.
Yeah.
Sure, teach us your ways.
There was a blockbuster trade this week, though, and that is Kyle Korver.
Oh.
So far, looking to be the biggest trade of the season.
Yeah, dropped a cool 14 points in his debut.
Did he?
He did. Four threes.
Was he traded for anyone?
Alec Burks.
Oh, okay.
Alec Burks. A couple second rounders.
Yeah, big trade, as I said. Game changer.
Dog, like,
I think it's a great trade for the Jazz.
Alec Burke was going to be, like, the thing. It was, like, him, Beal, and, like, Evan Fournier were, like, the young up-and-comers at the position.
Yeah, I remember that. I don't believe that so much anymore.
Seems like Burks is still, like, a year away from being a year away.
Yeah.
But he's shown flashes, and he can shoot.
He's 50% of a Bruno Caboclo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking more 50% of a Dante Exum, but yeah, I hear you.
You guys have any other news?
In Bucks news, Giannis got stepped over by Mario Hezonja.
It was beautiful.
That was it was pretty nice, I won't lie. Although Giannis didn't really get dunked on. He like went for the block and missed it and fell down. And then Hezonja stepped over him afterward. So I don't know if that matters, but
you got to be careful when going for like the chase down blocks, because if you enter the picture, all of a sudden you're getting dunked on. It happened to John Wall with Gordon Hayward 2 years ago, where he just like tried to block it from behind, and then they were talking about like Hayward just caught another body. It was like during his like 2 week phase where he was dunked on. I was like, oh come on guys, like, not really.
It's not catching a body if it's by accident.
He wasn't even planning on him being there. I don't know, but I did. I was really struck by. I enjoyed the clip as much as anybody, but I was really struck by Giannis's reaction. I thought he handled it maybe a bit poorly.
Depends on who you ask. If you ask Giannis, he meant what he said.
It reminded me of there was a time in my first year of college. When this really, he was a really short guy. He told me he was going to uppercut me in the nuts as a threat. And I was just like, my man, that is the least threatening thing I've ever heard in my life.
What a tremendous self-own.
I know.
I'm going to punch you in the nuts, and to do that, I need to uppercut you.
I was like, you made yourself sound even shorter than you are. So that's all I can think of when I hear that Giannis really wants to punch Mario Hezonja.
Yeah, the Bucks press asked Giannis about his quote today, and he basically said, yeah, I meant what I said, but I probably should have chosen different words. And then, like, went on to blame, like, I'm not from here. I don't speak English that well. Which I thought was hilarious. Like, you speak English well enough. Like, you know what you said.
This isn't the Giannis of, like, 5 years ago, where it's just, he's amazing. I love America.
I'm loving the English lessons that these guys are getting when they come over to the NBA. Jokic is saying no homo. Giannis is saying I'm gonna punch you in the nuts. It's great.
Giannis's thing is just energizing, if anything.
Yeah,
but he did say what he said. If it happens, when it happens again,
he did say when it happens.
He said
again.
When.
Yeah, that's, keyword. That was the most troubling part for me.
Prep yourself for another poster.
He's just planning on being on the floor a lot whenever they play the Knicks. He's like, he might just run over and step over me again. I'm going to be laying down an awful lot.
He goes to sub out, and he sees Hezonja subbing back in, and he's like, no, I'm not subbing out. I'm not going out right now, coach. Keep me in.
I'm a man of my word.
Do the Knicks feel that the stepping over of Giannis has brought them back from Giannis dunking completely over Tim Hardaway Jr.? Like, to the Knicks, or like,
not.
Oh, yeah, we're even now. Because they're not. No way.
They're not. No.
In a way, I could buy it, because it's like Giannis did an unbelievable thing to a totally like inferior player, but then getting owned by another totally inferior player like gets you a lot more points.
Right.
It's like, it's one thing to be stepped over by, I don't know if like Russell Westbrook had done it, but he got stepped over by Hezonja.
It's not a good look.
No.
It's true.
I do enjoy it though. No disrespect to Giannis, but it's a fun clip. Takes? Getting into some takes?
I don't have any queued up. I have our next segment all queued up, so if anyone else has takes.
We should mention right now, this is a special episode. We don't have a lot of takes or news, because we'll be getting into our yearly tradition. We do this outside of the podcast, but now it It's part of the podcast. It's called the All Suns Team. We'll get into that. I do have a take that we can do first. This is from Reddit, r/NBA. u/stayhumbleplease says, or asks, should banked threes count as 2 points? Banked in threes are almost never intentional. They are usually some Hail Mary heave thrown up at the last second of the shot clock. It's unfair to punish teams playing great defense for 24 seconds and reward teams that just get lucky. Should banked threes count as 2 points? Thoughts on this?
I think banked threes should count as more points, so more people have to try them.
Yes, I'm on this far boat.
More. It's like, I feel like if you hit the upright on a field goal, it should be more points. I think if you bank in the three, it should be more points.
Yeah, you got to call it, though.
Tim Duncan is all of a sudden like the league leading scorer of all time. If a banked three is worth four.
They're going to bring him back.
He's going to come out of retirement if this rule falls into place. It's like, oh, I can still make those. Just give me the rock. I'll shoot from the bench. I don't care.
Tim Duncan is going to be so excited when he listens to our podcast.
That's right. Tim Duncan, come on the podcast.
The most excited
if
person.
If you come on the podcast and wear jorts, I don't know what I'll do, but I'll eat another Rozier. I don't know.
We'll give you a gift card for Old Navy.
Ooh, Tim, you hear that? Old Navy.
I got a quick one. Take that I shared with the fellas earlier this week because it was just so good. From a present hot take artist, Josh Eberle, Canadian, which I like to point out to give Canadian people grief that they have to claim him. He said that if Luka Doncic is like James Harden, if James Harden cared about more than winning MVP awards, which has a lot going on, in my opinion, in there.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that.
I'm not even certain, like, exactly what the comparison is supposed to be. I can't tell if it's, like, play style, because even, like, the biggest Doncic stan would agree that he's not remotely as good as James Harden.
I really enjoyed the other day when Twitter was going wild about Luka. And I was like, oh, what'd he do? And all the tweets were like, oh, Luka is here and he's here to stay. And I checked the stats and he put up 20 points and that was it.
The highlights that made everyone go nuts from that game were a half-court three that was pretty dope, and then a three that didn't go in that would have been really cool if it had.
That's my favorite stat. the would have been cool.
Kemba Walker, Swaggy P, and Luka all tied. Yeah, no, I've been... I adore Luka, and he's been so fun to watch, but he's probably been getting a little bit overrated how good he's been this year so far.
Yeah, I mean, he's great, but
it's kind of funny watching everyone go like, oh my goodness, how did he not go number one overall? And like, I would have taken him number one overall, no doubt, but like, DeAndre Ayton is averaging like 18 and 10 on 65% true shooting or something ridiculous. Like, the guy who went number one is doing pretty well.
Yeah, he's playing like a number one.
But he wouldn't be James Harden if Harden cared more about anything other than winning MVP awards, so.
Let's see how good Luka's defense is.
But does Luka love his parents?
Luka doesn't have any kids yet. He's a bum.
Should we get into the All Suns?
I'm ready.
Yeah. All right, Joe, take us there. You set the rules.
Oh, okay. So the All Suns team, S-O-N-S, are players that we deem that we love and are proud of as if they were our own sons. These include players that, well, this list just has nothing to do with basketball talent. To be on this list, you need to be in the NBA. But beyond that, there are no other requirements except the single X factor of being sons of ours. And it's different for each person. So the rules we've set in place is that we each have compiled our own unique roster of 15 current players, so three players per position. We could at most have three all-stars or players that have had all-star experience in the past, and at most three players from our own team that we root for, i.e. the Bucks, the Warriors, or the Wizards for each of us. And then we've got an additional fun segment after that, but we'll start with that. I think that's fun. We also have a coach. Each of us has assigned a coach. They may be a former player or a current player that we would want to be our coach. Yeah. How do we want to break it down for the people?
Well, how about you take us through your team, since you introduced the concept.
Okay, all right. Just run through my team. I'll go position by position, I guess.
Okay.
We'll start with point guard. So again, nothing to do with basketball skill. How I rank them is just how I feel about them as my own sons. Point guard, first, Yogi Ferrell, currently of the Sacramento Kings, formerly of Big Ten Indiana University. He's just awesome. I love that he went undrafted. I knew he was going to be great because I watched him for 4 years destroy my hometown Wisconsin Badgers, just completely annihilate us constantly. And he was a little undersized, kind of not amazing at anything, but pretty dang good at a lot of things. And I feel like he slipped in the draft the same way Malcolm Brogdon did, in that he was just a senior who played for 4 years and deemed as old and not good. And that might be true, but I really just love him and will root for him forever.
He rules.
My other point, he does rule. Thank you so much. Second point guard on my list is Dennis Smith Jr.
Yes. North Carolina stand up.
He's just super athletic, super fun to watch. I had him for rookie of the year last year. Did not go the way I thought, but I think him and Luka are a dynamic duo that's going to be real fun for a long time on the Mavericks. And my third point guard is Raul Neto of the Utah Jazz. Ooh. Because he's just so beautiful. Have you seen him?
So hot. Look at him. Our handsome boy.
The handsomest, maybe the handsomest NBA player out there.
He's up there.
Raul, come on the podcast so we can talk about how good looking you are.
Next time we'll work on the handsome boys team. The all handsome 2018.
All handsome. Yes, that's a good team to assign. All right, shooting guards. I've got Victor Oladipo, who is my first all-star, first of all. Also from Indiana University. I live in Indiana right now. I'm from Wisconsin originally, but I live in Indiana right now. And he has revitalized the Pacers. And I've gone to a couple Pacers games since I moved here. And the whole arena just erupts for this guy when he does anything. They just love him. And he's super fun. And I love that he's really had a career renaissance, more so than De'Aaron Fox, I'll say. But yeah, I just love that he's blown up, and I don't know, I just like him.
Have you listened to his music?
He's a good singer too. Yes,
he makes some jams. True.
He really does. Next shooting guard, CJ McCollum, not an all-star, but all-star caliber, I would say. I will always love him because he was on the Lehigh team that upset Duke in the tournament in the first round.
Wonderful.
So he's forever my son, and I just like him on the Blazers. And my third shooting guard is Dante DiVincenzo of the Milwaukee Bucks. He's fun. I think he's better than people expected him to be when we drafted him already. I love all of his nicknames, the Big Ragu, Michael Jordan of Delaware, etc. He's just fun. Okay, small forwards. Vince Carter, no brainer. He's just literally what got me into the NBA was his dunk contest, which I've talked about before, and he's maybe my favorite player ever. Omri Caspi is my second small forward. I will always love Omri Caspi because of the shootout he had with Steph Curry in 2015, that they literally just traded threes for five straight minutes in a game. Each of them just couldn't miss.
GIF with Boogie Cousins.
That's right. That's right. The all-timer. And my third small forward is Joe Ingles, who I just want to remind everybody was cut by the Clippers, while his wife was on a plane from Australia to watch him play in the NBA for the first time.
Boy, has that rage fueled him.
And now he's killing it on the Jazz. I just like him. He looks like, like, just looking at him, there's no way he should be a good NBA player, and he is.
Yeah, he looks like he won.
I love
some,
guys
like
that. That you, he like won a fan contest or something. Yeah, and exactly. He's somehow on the floor, but he's great. Okay, power forwards. I've got Giannis, of course, my favorite Buck. That's another All Star. Oh, Vince Carter was my second All Star because he had some All Star appearances previously in his career. Giannis is my third All Star. Second Milwaukee Buck. He starts at power forward, so I threw him in at power forward. Obviously, I root for him above, like, anyone else. Second power forward, Frank Kaminsky of Wisconsin fame, National Player of the Year. I went to the Final Four the first time the Badgers went to the Final Four when they lost to Kentucky, and he was like, yeah, National Player of the Year. Maybe that was the following year.
Following year.
I think it was the following year, but that was, like, his ascension. Was up leading up to that point. And it was, he's just a fun player to me that I will always hold special in my heart from my college days. And third power forward is John Collins of the Hawks. He is a guy that the Bucks could have and should have drafted in the draft he went. And he's just throws down some powerful dunks that are fun. I keep saying that guys are fun, but that's just how I feel about my sons. I'm just so proud of them. Centers. Number one, Steven Adams. I'm not totally convinced that he's not Daniel Day-Lewis in his greatest role to date. He's just so fun to me. Again, the curled mustache that he rocked for a while, like the tattoo that seems to be just growing over his entire body every year. He's just a big boy who's maybe the best offensive rebounder in the league, and he's just does not take himself too seriously at all, and he's fun.
And my pick for hottest player in the NBA.
That's a fair choice.
Definitely
as well.
Up there. Also,
he's got that jawline.
Great Instagram feed.
Wonderful.
Mostly Fortnite victory royales.
Yeah. And like,
but it is
anime
good.
Stuff.
Yeah, I just saw that last one, the wanted poster.
Yeah.
My second center is Boban Marjanovic, another big boy that I have loved since he was on the Spurs, and now he's like getting a little bit of playing time on the Clippers and is like one of the most efficient players in the whole league. But he's just big and massive and
so large.
And my third my third center son is Enes Kanter, the second stash bro. I miss when they were both on the Thunder together, and I love them both. The only honorable mention that I had that I was gonna put in this spot instead was Brook Lopez of the Bucks, but he would have been my fourth All-Star, so I could not include him. But I do like Brook Lopez a lot, especially on the Bucks with his newfound three-point range. It's very fun.
Oh, he can shoot now.
He went. He made 8 threes in a game, and then like 2 weeks later, went 0-for-12 from 3 in a game. So
it's got to even out eventually.
That is a son of mine if I've ever seen one.
Hey, that's shooting 40% over those 2 games.
yeah, and my coach.
So good.
My coach is Mike Bibby.
Ooh.
Newly,
Jack.
Very good.
Newly
choice.
Swole Mike Bibby. Well, always been swole Mike Bibby.
Now he's just extra swole.
Yeah. He is dominating the high school basketball coaching scene right now at a school with 1,400 students, which is a pretty small school. Their teams score. These are numbers I'm getting from a Bleacher Report article. His teams score 89 points a game, and they play a full court defense and average 24 steals per game.
Damn. I feel like there's some intimidation factor from that swollenness getting into that.
I think so. I mean, he's the man for the job for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's working.
And that's the All Suns team for me.
That's a solid team.
Thank you. So proud of all my sons.
Yeah, that's a good, proud team.
Couple sons on there that I have a feeling we'll hear from later tonight, even.
Yeah, we might have a few matches.
Just a couple.
This is what categories you got to cross yours off now.
Oh no!
Never have let you go first.
I was thinking we could have done some sort of like draft format where like we go one at a time and pick our son. Like I claim Vince Carter and you're all mad at me, or what? Or insert whoever, whatever name.
I'd be mad. Yeah.
That's next a good time. Idea.
Yeah, we'll do...
draft our teams.
Maybe get some more people involved.
Yeah, we'll have a couple guests, maybe Kyrie, Tim Duncan.
Yeah, you know. Still waiting for Kyrie to come on the show.
The regulars.
Yeah. All right. Well, who's next?
It's here yours, Jared.
Okay. All right. So, again, this is in no like order of skill, and it's hard to put an order of like how proud I am of them also. So the only true order is of position, but I'll read it off like Joe did. So we have point guard. I have Quinn Cook on here from Golden State Warriors. Very proud of my undrafted son. True hustler.
I was surprised he went undrafted.
Yeah, me
at
too.
That time.
He has like
how?
I don't know. I don't
I
know.
He's figured out why it took so long for him to like stick on a team.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's always like a couple guys that don't get drafted and then they get like Alonzo Trier. Like, I mean, I'm surprised at how well he's doing right now, but I'm not surprised he landed on a team at all.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's crazy.
There are few things I love as much as the clips of Quinn Cook after they won the championship last year, though. And just like Kerr and like Curry taking him aside and being like, this was you, this was all you, you got us here, and him just losing it was amazing.
It was amazing. Quinn has such an amazing story. It's like, it's really like inspiring.
He's a great guy.
If you don't know the story, believe he was undrafted, and then shoot, who signed him? I want to say the Hawks. I think it was the Hawks who signed him, and then while he was decorating his apartment out there, he got a call that they dropped him. And then meanwhile, Kevin Durant is like, hey, check out my dude, this guy's good, I think he could help us. And the Warriors like, yeah, we'll try and get to that. And when they went to try and talk to him, he had already been swooped by the Pelicans. So in that meantime, the Warriors filled up that spot, and then the Pelicans dropped Quinn. Kevin Durant's like, hey, pick up my dude, like, this is my friend, he's good, we go back. And so the Warriors signed him to the G League team. Of course, later in the season, Curry got hurt. They brought up Quinn Cook, and he killed it. And now he's like a solid rotation player. We'll move on to my next. This is probably the most all-star quality guy on my team. I have no all-stars. Mike Conley.
Oh.
Very proud of him. Proud of his defense. Solid
it's
guy.
It's crazy that he's never been an all-star.
Isn't
it's
it?
It's like a crime.
Yeah. He's
but
great.
I get it. The West has a lot of really good point
yeah,
guards.
It's rough in the West.
He might go down as one of the best, like, he might be one of those players that gets forgotten over the years because he was never an all-star.
Yeah.
And I hope he does become an all-star at least once, but, like, I feel like he's going to be so underappreciated, like, after he's retired.
Yeah, I believe that.
He'll be like disrespected.
I think it's also just like he, you know, the team he plays for, like Grizzlies are not like a big market team.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, I'm sure he's appreciated by Grizzlies fans, but
right,
you know, you can do something big out there, and they'll not, you know, the entire league's not gonna hear about it. And then we have a repeating name already, Yogi Ferrell.
Oh,
man.
You know, solely responsible for the Kings doing well now. It's no one else.
Is
it's,
he?
It's his. No. But I'm like to believe. I like to believe it's his arrival.
I'm impressed you put him on the team with him overshadowing your Warriors every night.
Well.
Great point.
Like, I'm trying to prove how unbiased I am. We'll move to shooting guards. Technically, this guy, I always see this guy's more of a point guard, but he plays shooting guard. Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah.
Rookie of the year.
Shooting guard, I think. That's fair.
He did dunk on LeBron.
And Kyrie.
That's a pretty nice thing. I'm very proud of him for that.
Would you trade Malcolm Brogdon for Kyrie?
No.
Because you don't know what Malcolm Brogdon is yet. That's what's key.
It's because Kyrie has not dunked on Kyrie. Then I have Josh Hart from the Lakers. Just a solid player. I enjoy watching him play.
He was another guy that dropped in the draft, and I was like, that's a mistake.
Yeah.
Like, this guy should be a first rounder.
But definitely sure. Could be a type for Jared so far.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, like Quinn Cook, Yogi, Malcolm, Josh, like you know what you like.
Josh Hart, I don't know, watching some Lakers games, he's impressed me. He's a fun guy to watch, and he can defend pretty well. Then we have someone who definitely broke my heart watching him go. I have Ian Clark from the Pelicans, who was one of my favorite Warrior sons when he was on the Warriors. Also brought us some great, great clips, great GIFs, whatever you want to call them. Fun guy. Probably one of the most fun players to get no minutes. Move to the small forward. I have Tim Hardaway Jr. from the Knicks. Very okay. Proud of him keeping his composure after getting dunked over. Also very proud of him for dealing with being a player for the Knicks.
Good point.
He's getting paid a lot of money to be a player for the Knicks.
It's true. But he's still on the Knicks.
That's true.
Then I have Alphonso McKinney from the Warriors. He's been hurt the last couple weeks, but he is another player that went undrafted. He didn't even enter the draft.
What?
Yeah.
How did he get on the team?
He played internationally for a few years.
He showed up one day.
Yeah, and then he just showed up and said, I'm here. Now, he played internationally. Then I think last time it was international was Mexico, and he came home. He hooked up with, I don't remember who, someone in the league was like
Raptors got him.
Acting as his mentor. Yeah, then he played for the Raptors for summer league. Then they didn't want to keep him. And then he had an opportunity to go for some preseason tryouts, and he went for the Warriors. And it worked out with Pat McCaw having a bad agent.
Yeah.
Took well, that for him. And yeah,
it's I learned a new NBA player today.
He's great. He's just straight up hustles. He gets some offensive boards out of nowhere too. So proud of him. Another good story.
I saw someone using him as an example of like a good teams stay good. Like there's a reason these teams are good. Like Raptors and Warriors had like such better scouting departments than everyone else.
Yeah.
Because I think he was actually like maybe even like one of the Raptors two-way guys last year.
Yeah, he was.
And it was like if the only two teams in the league who like saw your worth are the Raptors and the Warriors, then like they probably know something.
Yeah. All right, it's great. I hope he can stay healthy. Then we have, I know you guys will like my next pick, Reggie Bullock of the Pistons. Because he is just a good guy. You know, solid player. Make sure, we'll share this. Great article by The Ringer called The Pride of Reggie Bullock about Reggie paying tribute to his transgender sister, going to Pride for the first time, and just, you know, his commitment to keeping the NBA as a safe place, an understanding place, and just learning. You know, he's trying to move the league forward, and I think that is amazing.
I love Reggie.
Yeah. Reggie's great. We'll share that article. It's amazing. Reggie's so good. Cool.
Good boy. Good son. Good article.
Very yes, good. Just very proud of him. Woke boys. Move on to power forward. This might be cheating, but technically he's listed as this. Thon Maker.
Ooh.
Not much I got to say about Thon Maker.
On your team, Jared. I'm so proud of you. I know.
Thon, fun to watch. Just a tall, lanky boy. Shoots those threes. Gets those dunks. Anyone who's played NBA 2K will always have something good to say about the virtual Thon Maker.
Incredibly out of left field fun fact about Thon Maker.
Yes.
Let's hear it.
I have in person seen him play basketball in his driveway when he was still in high school.
Really?
I drove by and I looked over, and this was when he was still a high school phenomenon. I looked over and I was like, "Oh wow, that's Thon Maker."
Damn.
And that's my story.
Hey, that's neat. I like that.
And just look at him now.
You are responsible for
He
this.
did it well.
We got here together.
Thon was so fun in the playoffs last year too. He
He
like,
was.
what did he have, like 8 blocks in a game or something
I
against
think
the
so. I think
Celtics?
he was the most fun part of the Bucks in playoffs last year. Not, not to
What a
bash
good
on
guy.
not to bash on the Bucks, Joe. I'm sorry.
It's
I know
fine.
it was a rough
He
time.
went real quiet there, real fast.
Yeah.
He did. He would either, yeah, he would either like show up big time or just like disappear completely. But that's what young players do a lot of the
And Joe has logged out after my comments.
time.
Next up, I have I like to believe this man is under a curse of some sort, very weird curse. Nikola Mirotic of the New Orleans Pelicans. The man cannot grow his beard back. As when he does, he's not good. When he has shaved, he's very good.
It's true.
All there is to that, this is very interesting. There's a story about late last season. I guess he showed up to practice, bit of stubble, and they just sent him back to the locker room, told him to shave it.
That's awesome.
It's a fun story. Then I have another Laker. Not very proud to say I have three Lakers on here, but so it goes. Kyle Kuzma, late draft pick, fun guy to watch. That's all there is to it.
He's pretty fun,
It's
yeah.
fun. I think he was definitely a great swoop, great late pick. Arguably one of the
Yeah.
best deals.
I like the little hook shot he's got.
Yeah.
He is, according to an NBA Instagram post, better at everything than Jason Tatum, so he's got that going for him.
Oh, look at that. That rivalry lives on in a new way. He can throw it down too. We'll move on to my centers. I have so I wrote this list down on my phone throughout the week. But then I have the only player I have typed in all caps is JaVale McGee from the Los Angeles Lakers. I love JaVale. I'm very happy
Formerly a
for him.
warrior boy.
You want to talk about a career renaissance?
Yeah.
There it is. I
He
do
went
miss him
from
though.
dunking a ball in two separate hoops at the same time to where he is now.
He was the deserving winner of that dunk contest.
Absolutely.
Yep, that's true.
Raw.
He was just so tall and lanky that it didn't look as impressive as they all were.
All right, just get him back in the contest again.
Seriously. I would love that.
But yeah, I miss JaVale. He's fun. I'm very happy for him though. He's getting minutes out there. He's being appreciated.
JaVale's done a dunk contest and LeBron has not.
That's
Really
true.
makes you think.
So who is the better player on that team? Next, I have Damian Jones from the Warriors. Rest his soul,
Oh,
as
RIP.
he has just last night announced that he'll probably be out for the season. Very sad. I love him representing the Santa Cruz Warriors G League team. Same with Quinn. I lived in Santa Cruz for about a year or two. Good place. Good G League team. Good Damian Jones. He's fun. Brings energy. But then I have my last player is Mo Bamba from the Magic. He's just a cool guy. And he's a good player. And he's very
He's got that
fast.
rap song about him too.
Yeah, I'm actually not a fan of this song so much.
Jared loves that song.
But Mo Bamba the player, very cool. And yeah, the fun fact with that song, obviously naming after him, is that Mo Bamba is childhood friends with Sheck Wess.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they go back. That's how that sound came to be. Or at least the name and everything. Just a cool story about those two. But yeah, Mo Bamba's cool. He's like super athletic. He's a smart guy. Full of interesting quotes and interviews. And then my coach is I've been granted an exception to that I can have four home team guys as long as one's the coach, and that is Andre Iguodala.
Ooh, very nice.
Just a pretty quiet guy, but I see him as a source of interesting quotes and philosophy.
It's going to be a well-coached team.
Yeah. I think, you know, I trust him very much. Then I do have honorable mentions. We'll get to that after, you know, for our next exciting parts. But Will, I want to hear what you got and who you've copied from the both of us.
Let's give this a shot. As a note, I had a one or two extra kind of rules that I put on myself for this. I had to limit the number of UNC players. Not because the other fellas told me to, but because if I didn't, then that would be all 15 of my players.
15 Tyler Hansboroughs.
Oh, you have no idea. Saw him at Chipotle recently. That was nice. But and then these are in I did first team, second team, third team. I think that's how I'll run through them. And that means like first team point guard is more of a sun than the second team point guard, but that doesn't necessarily cross over by.
We all have favorites. It's okay. Will.
Favorites.
I'm just being honest. Loud. Just being honest with all my sons.
Okay.
And I also have two-way players because I'm going to use all my roster spots.
Okay.
All right. So first team at this was my first overall pick, Russell Westbrook at point guard, Oklahoma City Thunder. Not just because he loves his parents, but I love him forever, and was my easiest pick. Actually, little trivia: I was early in the days when they were losing to the Lakers in the playoffs. I was a hater, but he totally turned me around by when he goaltended the Nuggets mascot shot to give the fans for nachos. Ever since then, I've been a totally blind coach. The Church of Westbrook.
That is an amazing.
That may be Westbrook one of moment. My favorite things that he's done.
It is.
Not to take away from everything else he's accomplished.
So that's my first team point guard. At shooting guard, I've got Thomas Satoransky for the Washington Wizards. He could be really anywhere between point guard to small forward, but I needed to fill a slot correctly. So he comes in at shooting guard. I love him. He will never get enough minutes. He will not be a Wizard anymore after this year in all likelihood because the team does not value him, but he is a very good basketball player and I cannot wait to see him, go play well somewhere else.
Yeah. I think he has a lot of potential.
Like the Warriors or Raptors, perhaps.
Pretty much.
Yep.
Small forward. Also, this is really kind of a shooting guard, but interchangeable. Danny Green for the Toronto Raptors.
Ooh.
I love Danny. I was just talking with, a Raptors fan, a friend of ours about how he is one of the more underrated players of my lifetime. Probably he's one of the best 3-and-D players of his entire generation and really kind of popularized the role. And also I love him.
It's totally true too.
Like the fans in San Antonio always, I think, kind of had a little tough time with him because he's a streaky shooter, but I've never been able to understand like why the Spurs organization valued him as little as they did. And like just threw him in this trade with Kawhi, just gave him to the Raptors essentially. But he's doing great, and the Raptors fans seem to have really taken to him. So I'm very excited.
I'm happy for him out there.
He would have been the 2013 Finals MVP if Ray Allen didn't hit that damn shot. So that hurts. But love Danny Green. Power forward. This is an extremely high choice. Might be my second overall. John Henson, Milwaukee Bucks.
Ooh,
that's a sign right there.
That largely comes from his time in Carolina, but I still love him in the pros. He was such a delightful player, and if there's two archetypes I usually go for, it's lanky or point guard who can't shoot. He definitely
might
fits
I
one
interest
of those.
You in the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, pretty much. And then rounding out my first team, I have been a devoted member of a. Owned land on Julius Randle Hill for years and years, and so he is my starting center for the New Orleans Pelicans, and I love Julius. His style is so aesthetically pleasing to me, of just being like a bowling ball in the lane who always finishes with his left. And this goes all the way back to when he was in his high school tape. I thought he was, like, coming out of high school, I thought he was the greatest player who had ever lived. It is the, to this day, most fun high school highlight reel I've ever seen. He was just a man when he was like 17.
That's high praise.
But that's my first team. Second team, I'm really fond of my second team right now. I didn't do this on purpose. It was just when I was putting guys into where I thought they belong in slots. But my second team All Suns team might be the single worst offensive team ever created. I'm gonna blast through this and then we can go back and talk about a couple guys, but I want you to get the full picture. Point guard, Markelle Fultz, shooting guard, Marcus Smart, small forward, Andre Roberson, power forward, John Collins, and center, Miles Turner.
Miles Turner is your shooter in that team.
Yeah, I don't mean to disparage John or Miles, who either are or should be pretty decent on offense, but that is a horrific offensive
that
team right
so
now.
Bad.
And I love them for it. I love them so much.
Oh, that's a squad.
Markelle Fultz is a DMV kid, and I loved him at Washington, and I'm just still so sad about how his career has gone so far, but I will always be a fan.
I still have high hopes for him. I believe.
I honestly do.
I think it'll work out.
I'm blindly hopeful in this way.
Yeah.
Marcus Smart, ever since his time at Oklahoma State, which I did not see him becoming this kind of player when he was at Oklahoma State, where I thought he was great at offense. But he did flop all the time there, too. But in college, has gone through hell in his life and is just still here, still tough as all get out. I love him to death. That's joke says everyone is fun. I just keep saying I love these guys because I do. Andre Roberson, amazing at defense, a really fun part of those Thunder teams that I like so much. And I don't care if he can't shoot. He was really, really fun in that series. With the that big Western Conference Finals with the Warriors.
Oh, I'm with you there.
He was so good at defense for a while, it didn't matter that he couldn't shoot. And
no,
I love when that
it still doesn't matter that he can't shoot.
Yeah, right. Like the Thunder with him last year were so much better. They were looking like an elite team with him last year, and then he gets hurt.
He makes a huge difference, and like he's not there to shoot.
Yeah, absolutely not. So love Andre. John Collins, John the Baptist, super fun, super bouncy, dunks everywhere, a blast at Wake Forest, and is going to be a blast in Atlanta for years. And then Miles Turner. I've been on the Miles Turner bandwagon for years. I'm not certain if it is a bandwagon because I don't know how many other people are on it right now.
Pretty much the whole state of Indiana is on that bandwagon.
I would have bet my life 2 years ago that he would turn out better than Kristaps Porzingis. And even with the benefit of hindsight and how wrong that is, like I still don't want to give up on it. And yeah, then third team. So I think, I've had one Wizard and one All-Star so far. I mean, at least 10 future All-Stars, but only one has already happened. Third team, this will be my second All-Star, Kyle Lowry for the Raptors. Kalo's amazing. And speaking of guys they've had some tough roads, he definitely has. I have nothing but respect and love for the best ass in the NBA.
Oh, for sure.
Agon, though.
For sure.
Never mind basketball, but man, he is fucking packing back there.
This is an ass friendly podcast.
if anyone ever meets me, ask me about all the pictures I have from of a Guershon Yabusele's ass from the like half of my phone's camera roll.
If you ever wondered what our private DM was like, this is it.
That's it.
Hey, can I borrow your phone? Yeah, just a second.
Let me just
archive all these ass pics.
No, I make them my background before I hand it over.
I have a thing I'm sure you guys have noticed, but every time I watch a Raptors game, I type in one of our basketball chats, Lowry Tick. Every time, everyone knows. Everyone's already in on, like, best ass in the game.
It is spectacular. Shooting guard, this is our second repeat. I don't think we have anybody who made everybody's team, but Dennis Smith Jr., Fayetteville, born and raised, love DSA. Also, on that note, when I know Joe brought up his friendship with his pairing with Luka, and their friendship has been so fun. One of my favorite moments of the season so far was when DSJ was like on a boat with Doncic and was doing some IG live, and he said, "Luka, come over and say what up to Fayetteville." And Luka comes over and just like squints at the screen and says, "There's 7 people watching this."
Yeah.
I love him. Small forward and my second Wizard, Troy Brown Jr. Jared, I believe, is going to mention a concept of like honorable mention called timeout. And when we get there, I think it'll explain why I don't have more wizards on here. But Troy and Thomas, especially Troy, are kind of the only untainted ones for me right now. He has not played a single non-garbage time minute this year, but he seems to be a pretty cool personality, and he is a really big kind of point guard, which is right up my alley. Power forward for third team, Pascal Siakam for the Raptors.
Oh, very good.
Who is just limbs and spin moves and is actually pretty dang good at basketball now. But an absolute joy of a player. And then center for my third team is Wendell Carter Jr. for the Bulls. Who, yes. great play style, fun guy, checks all the right boxes. I even liked him while he was at Duke. So
wow, that's high praise.
Big Wendell fan.
Yeah.
And then my coach, up and coming, going to be one of the, in the next couple of years, is going to be a head coach in the league. He's a real up and comer. But current assistant for the Memphis Grizzlies, Jerry Stackhouse.
Yes.
Yep. Can't argue with that.
Oh, sorry, my two ways. I can't believe I did this.
Oh, come on.
Devin Robinson for the Washington Wizards.
Yes.
And who Joe and I actually were fought over when the Wizards signed him as an undrafted free agent. We both wanted him. And Theo Pinson for the Brooklyn Nets, who is my favorite Carolina player of all time. That's my team.
Really hope some more Carolina fans are listening.
All right. So we've got our current lineups all set. We yep. also assigned one another to come up with a five-person starting lineup of historic Suns. These are players that have since retired from the league that we view as our Suns for whatever reason. I can run through my five real quick. Here we go. Point guard, Jason Williams. Shooting guard, Ray Allen. Small forward, Michael Finley. Power forward, Bob Pettit. Center, Ben Wallace. Let me run. Jason Williams, the elbow passes, just the swagger he had forever was so fun. That he wore number 55 is so fun to me. I don't know. He's just like total, like, if and one street ball was in the NBA to me. Like, he just didn't, like, personality-wise was just the most fun guy to me. Ray Allen, former Buck, one of my favorite players to watch ever. Before Steph was the best shooter ever. Just put the Bucks on the map for a while in the early 2000s. Michael Finley, former Badger. I met him in person once when I was in Dallas for the Final Four. He sponsored a like banquet hall room at a bar or something and was like, hey, any Badger fans can come here and drinks are on me.
Wow.
And so
all right.
I went there and got a drink from Michael Finley and he threw up the W with me in a photo. So
that's cool. Michael Finley, super cool.
This will get you on my historic Suns team. Just watch.
I'm going to skip to my center again real quick. Ben Wallace, who is maybe my maybe my favorite players of all time. Like that Pistons championship team is one of the best teams ever in my mind. And he was the anchor of that on defense, especially. I collected like binders worth of his basketball cards specifically, like only him for a long time. And then Bob Pettit, who for no other reason is on this team than the story that is posted to Twitter that mentions Bob Pettit by Twitter user at Fake Mike Malloy. It's legendary. You've probably seen it before, but I just want to share a couple excerpts from this story. It starts off, white dudes are used to being less athletic than their peers. So when they hit that 40-plus rec league and it's all fundamentals, domination. Kyle Korver has been playing like he was somebody's dad since he was 18. Probably wore double-striped tube socks in high school. And it goes on. I must have been about 18 years old, playing in my dad's 40-plus pickup league, and they needed an extra guy, so I tagged along. The dude I was covering had to be 60 years old, wearing Converse Weapons, Umbro soccer shorts, and a Looney Tunes shirt. And he ruined my life I went home and never wanted to play basketball ever again. His shots were banking off my soul. That 60-year-old dude was calling out the names of dudes I hadn't even heard of. He yelled out Bob Pettit before nailing a baseline jumper. I had to go home and get my basketball almanac to find out who it was, because we didn't even have Google back then. I felt so disrespected.
Anyway, wow.
There's more to that story, but it's one of my favorite things on Twitter ever. And anytime I hit a baseline shot playing, even just in my driveway, I think Bob Pettit in my head now. So now hopefully all of you will.
Oh, I will.
Absolutely.
The Converse Weapons Umbro soccer shorts and Looney Tunes t-shirt just kills me.
Fit watch.
Quick honorable mentions for my historic team. Reggie Miller, Steve Francis, John Stockton.
John Stockton. Very good mention.
That's all I got. Jared, let's hear your historic five.
So, let's see. Point guard. I don't have like a super solid lineup as before. I just picked people that came to mind. I'm missing a small forward, and I have 2 points. But my point guard, dunk contest champion Spud Webb.
Nice.
Legend. 5'7". Makes me feel good as a 5'8"er. Fun fact, he's currently the president of operations for the Texas Legends G League team.
Oh, good for Spud.
Shooting guard. My list might be boring because it's people I like aren't super old mostly. I got Manu. He's historic now. He's retired. It counts. I love Manu so much. AKA the nutmeg champion.
The hardened blocker.
Oh, clutch. Then I have point guard again, Kenny Smith.
Oh, yes.
Legit.
I have Kenny Smith socks. Just a fun fact about Kenny Smith. I have his socks.
His socks.
They're like socks with his picture on them?
Yeah.
Or his socks that he wore?
No, it's socks. Oh. It's like Stance sock brand, and it's like his picture across. He's like doing a layup.
Nice.
Maybe I'll post him to the account.
KJ Smith currently plays at Carolina, and he comes in the games at like the end with the kind of mop-up crew. But he is way too good to be out there at that time, so he just like hits threes and layups whenever he wants, and everyone's just like screaming baby Jet all over the place.
Then I have Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan's one of my favorite players of all time. Just his attitude, very humble guy. Probably my favorite ejection of all time.
Oh yeah.
Just from laughing on the bench.
Yeah. You're a big Tim Duncan fan. You must have been very excited about that article today about bootcut jeans possibly making a comeback.
Yeah. And one of my other favorite things is like, I think it was like a week after they announced his retirement, he was seen shopping at Old Navy. And also that Popovich still says that he makes him come to practice and threatens to fine him if he doesn't come.
That's awesome.
And like Tim Duncan still like shows up sometimes. Then I have Chris Webber.
All right.
Who has been on many different sides of the highlight reels. Just a fun guy.
He's not in the Hall of Fame right now, is he?
I don't think so.
That is outrageous. Chris Webber is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I think so. Also, when I was younger, I used to live in Sacramento for a little while, and I got to see that 2000 to 2003 Kings team, and that was real fun. I do have a sixth man really quick, John Stockton. It's a repeat, but shouts out. Will?
The short shorts. Gotta respect it.
Yeah, I will say I'm very both of your starting centers for your historic five are guys that are like right near the top of my. They should be in the Hall of Fame. If people gave a crap about defense, Ben Wallace would be in the Hall of Fame. But so Ben Wallace is actually probably the hardest omission from my historic five, and that's because I had to sit myself down and say, Will, you're not allowed to have every member of the 2004 Pistons as your historic five.
Tayshaun Prince, stand up.
I thought the switching between the afro and the rose was the coolest thing as a kid.
Yo, yeah.
Mine fits really terribly with a traditional like positions, so I'm going to try to squeeze around that by saying we're going as small as humanly possible with this lineup. totally positionless in that everyone except like one guy is a guard. But this is basically a snapshot of the players that I would have died for between like 2004 and 2008, minus Gilbert Arenas, because he's weird enough that I don't know if I can call him a son. But Hibachi forever anyways. All right, so point guard, Larry Hughes. I used to take Larry Hughes in NBA Live 05 and get like something between 20 to 25 steals a game. He was amazing. Also on the subject of NBA Live 05, shooting guard Ben Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
I would just take Ben Gordon and score like 200 a game in the rookie sophomore challenge. Just flick the C-stick on the GameCube straight to the hoop and dunk it. It was wonderful. But love those guys, both of them. When I got older and found out that Larry Hughes was not as good as I thought he was, it was life-changing for me. I thought Larry Hughes was an all-star. Small forward, probably the first person I can – and he, the, like I said, these are all guards. These are not correct position-wise. But this is probably the first person I could credit for getting me into basketball. First player I loved and the first player I put on the historic five, Rip Hamilton. I thought the mask was the coolest thing ever. He just was running around hitting 18-footers wearing that mask, and I loved him. Power forward, and again, he's not a power forward. He's like a shooting guard again. But I am putting one of my all-time favorites and the only one here who makes me a bit sad to talk about, Brandon Roy. I loved Brandon Roy, and the end of his career made me so sad. But speaking of calling back to what Joe mentioned earlier, also dominated in the high school coaching game so far.
Hell yeah.
Coaching a high school up in Washington and won a state championship a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Then my quote-unquote center, my man Antoine Jameson.
Solid.
Yes. Yep. Super dope guy. One of the most fun offensive players, just in terms of like how he played, that I ever got to enjoy in the pros and in going back and watching old games of his in college. One of the fastest releases I've ever seen. So that's my five. The hardest omission, like I said, was Ben Wallace. And then my honorable mention for my regular, for my current team, was Steven Adams, who I just, he would have been right at the top. I just couldn't convince myself that he was a son and not like Jared sometimes says, like a really dope friend.
Yeah, like Steven Adams, like he's too like cool.
He's such a grown man. I don't know. It's just, he's like, he's huge. He's hairy. I don't know. He's just.
Steven Adams is my strong friend that I trust.
Exactly. I want to walk down the street holding hands with Steven Adams.
I want him to hold me in his arms walking down the street.
Like, you know that old picture of like, I think it's Will Arnett and Jason Bateman just like walking down the street holding hands and pointing at different things? Yeah. I want to do that with Steven Adams. So that's, I wouldn't do that with a son necessarily.
I would love to watch anime with Steven Adams and play Fortnite.
Exactly.
Even like Fortnite.
Long story short, I really want to get married to him. Steven, if you're listening, hit me up.
Come on the podcast. We'll talk about One Piece.
I'll stay cool with you. Then the others were Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, who I adore. I just couldn't make space for him. Jared Allen, it came down to him, or Miles Turner. For that, funnily enough, it came down to them for the second team spot, and then he missed the team. But love Jared Allen. I just, one Texas center was my limit. Then Drew Holiday, who it really hurt me to not have on there. My toughest omission for the current team. I love Drew Holiday, and he's wearing a headband this year. He looks like a ninja out on the court. like a tied-off headband. It's awesome. But I couldn't find the space at point guard. And then Robert Covington, who's basically like if Andre Robertson could shoot. So love him, but wasn't room.
Jared, do you have any other omissions that you...
Yeah, I have a few. So,
wanna highlight?
We'll go over the timeout zone after this. We'll get the more, the boys, they're not in trouble, and I don't want them to think they're in trouble. It's just rough out here, and I have my reasons. Boban Marjanovic, just couldn't find room for him. I don't know, he's almost too large to be my son.
Yeah.
But I love him, respect him. He's great. Happy for him. Joe Ingles, disqualified from my son's team for the last 2 years because he's more of a cool uncle or something. Vince Carter, just simply too old to be my son. Marcus Smart, I just couldn't find room. Love Marcus Smart, though. Great story. Well, maybe terribly sad story, but inspirational is maybe a better way. Larry Sanders, May he return to the league.
Still active. That's right.
Still active. Also, pretty outspoken about mental health, and I respect that, and that gives you points every time. Steven Adams, we went over that. I have DeMar DeRozan and Kevin Love on here, both also very outspoken about mental health issues, which I very much respect, and I hope they're doing well. Pascal Siakam and OG Anunoby, both very great players, hustlers. Dennis Smith Jr., very cool. Jared Allen, that nice hair. Come on. Come on. And then, yeah, like Will mentioned, J.Ru and Robert Covington. Great guys. Great players. I just couldn't find room. Joe?
Yeah, I've got a few. I mentioned Brooke Lopez earlier. Colin Sexton. I love Colin Sexton. When he played like 2 or 3 on 5 at Alabama, I was like completely sold on him. Mike Conley. We've talked about Mike Conley. De'Aaron Fox. I'm a big De'Aaron Fox fan as well.
Yep.
Ersan Ilyasova, back on the Bucks. Very slow, but I love him. John Luer, former Badger, who's like had just like the most solid career of any Badger. You know, him and Devin Harris of like all like former Badgers have got to have the just the longest tenured career in recent memory anyway. Still active. But Wendell Carter, gotta love Wendell Carter. And then Nikola Jokic is another one guy I love in the league right now.
It's just hard to fit all these boys. Son.
It's true. There's a lot of good boys out there.
I feel bad every time.
I need roughly 450 spots on my All-Suns team.
Yeah, we'll have to make some changes next time.
It would be everyone except Devin Booker.
we'll have to come up with a theme or something. Like we mentioned handsomest team. We'll have to we'll have to come up with a theme and do some more rosters that we come up with. But Jared, take us to the timeout zone.
So I have the timeout zone. Guys that, you know, they've previously been on or they've just been banned for being in timeout, even though I like them anyways. So let's not get this confused with the anti-Suns team. We don't speak of them. That's for bad boys only. They're just my boys that, you know, they're in a bit of trouble. And so they're in timeout. I have Jabari Parker. He's in timeout for his excuses for not being a great defensive player. I believe he said that this is an offensive league and stuff like that. Just play defense, dude. You're good. You're a good player. Play some defense. I mean, like, even the slightest bit of defense on the Bulls probably make a huge difference.
Could have saved Fred Hoiberg's job.
Yeah, come on. I have Jeremy Lin. Jeremy Lin is in timeout for his tweet that we discussed in our first episode about Derrick Rose overcoming injury and more. Jeremy, rethink this, okay? We have Danny Green. He is in forever timeout. I love Danny Green. One of the most underrated players in the league. Great 3-and-D guy. Very underappreciated by Spurs, like, you know, we've discussed. He's in timeout for tweeting, or maybe it was on Facebook or something. He posted a picture from a Holocaust memorial. putting up a pose saying, "You know, I had to do it one time."
What?
Have you not seen this?
I've not seen this.
we'll share this.
Haunt my first team.
Danny, no.
He had to do it one time. A part of that do not understand.
You know, I had to do it one time. He has since apologized. I'm sure Popovich was not happy with this.
That's why he was just a toss in. Popovich is too woke for that.
Danny Green, you know, I know he's not trying to offend anyone, but he's king of the timeout zone. That's my timeout zone. I don't know if you guys have any boys in timeout right now.
Yeah, every wizard I didn't list.
Okay.
with the exception of Thomas Bryant, who just isn't very good yet, but I love him. All of the others are in timeout.
That's fair.
Therefore cannot currently qualify for my team.
I'd also like to put meningitis in timeout.
Smart.
Because it has been around the league, so I think it's fair to include that. Also, Patrick Beverley for last night's actions. I get where he's coming from, but you can't be doing that.
You can't be throwing crisp bounce passes.
We'll try and share that article where I think it's from ESPN where they described that throwing the ball at a fan as a crisp bounce pass.
The league's too flashy. The fundamentals get you ejected from the game now. It's disgusting.
Yep. Joe, do you have any boys in timeout?
I don't think so. I was not prepared for this. Wow. I feel like I should have had something prepared.
Very.
I need to.
What a strict parent you are.
Yeah, yeah. Free range sons. That's what I'm all about.
Grass-fed sons.
Boys will be boys.
Oh god.
Oh no.
All right, What's better than this? Just guys being dudes.
So yeah, that's my team. That's my timeout zone.
Those are the Suns.
This is inspired by what has been a yearly tradition in our basketball DMs. Every year, everyone makes their and shares their All Suns team. Of course, we did tweak the rules a bit for the podcast.
That's a little thing called a license, a creativity,
mm-hmm.
sort of thing you can. Sort of freedoms you can take when you have a podcast.
Yep.
That you just can't do in the DMs.
We can make the rules sometimes.
Ooh, can we name this episode like a My Three Sons Teams?
All my sons.
That was a delightful time discussing our sons, but I feel like we ran a while. We want to wrap it up with one or two takes.
So I do have a thinker, and it's great because it actually goes back to an earlier conversation from the Suns team, if we want to just go to that.
Jared, we also got a user submitted take.
Oh yes, well, let's do that first.
So you can submit your takes to us at Untitled Hot Take on Twitter via the DMs, whether they're your own takes or takes you see from someone else, and we will share the good ones on here. And we got a good one from last week's guest, Adam Davis. I don't have it in front of me. Someone else has it in front of them.
I've got it.
Okay.
Will has this, the take.
This, it's this so hot I can't look at it with my own eyes.
And folks, you're also welcome to just at us. We will take takes in any form. Yes. But Adam shared with us a take. Kyrie real close to cementing himself into that Harden/Curry elite tier of guards.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like this is always this thing with Kyrie where there's not like that severe a change and then all of a sudden we all act like he's way better than he was before.
One extra crossover a game.
he D's up for an extra possession and yeah. It was like, all right, this is a whole new guy.
He scores 2 points higher than his average.
I want to be clear, Kyrie is still not better than Kyle Lowry. he has to cross that tier before Ooh. He wants to get to the Harden Curry tier.
Now we're talking.
So we're in the camp of Kyrie is in no way as good as Curry or Harden and will not be for some time. That's where we're at?
That's where I'm at for sure.
I feel like this conversation that like Kyrie is in the mega elite guard category has been a thing like for years.
Since like his second year in the league when people were like, only a matter of time until he overtakes CP3 now.
And it's kind of funny because it's like, I guess like maybe we could say he's almost there. That might be a stretch, but I'll just say that. But he's always been almost there. But he has never like closed that gap.
Well, he has such an interesting career trajectory because, like, he's a fantastic player.
Yeah.
And he's definitely improved a lot. But, like, he didn't start off bad and then take, like, a bunch of leaps. He started off pretty dang good.
Yeah.
And then made kind of mini improvements year over year, which is awesome. But it meant that, like, we saw him early on and we're like, oh, man, when he takes a couple leaps, he's going to be the best player in the league or the best point guard in the league. And there weren't any huge leaps left to take. He's improved, which is awesome, but we couldn't just project massive
improvement. Yeah, it makes sense.
And now he's stuck on another star-studded team that has problems.
And somehow doesn't have a cannot manage to get like a top 10 offense, which I don't think Curry and Harden usually have trouble doing.
No.
I don't think Kyrie's stuck on there. He could just like leave after this year.
I don't know. He He tells us once a week how dead set he is on staying in Boston for life or something.
I do think he will stay in Boston.
I do too.
I think he will.
It's an option. Like, yeah, it's an option to leave for him.
I know he will, because nothing good ever happens to me as a Wizards fan, so he's definitely staying in Boston. That was a user-submitted take. Thank you, Adam, and thank you to our take artist.
Adam, we love you. Thanks for being on last week. If you haven't heard last week's with Adam, it was pretty great. Adam's a good guy. Adam, good takes.
Adam, come back soon so we can eat the spaghetti sandwich.
Yeah.
Every one of Adam's sons is Jordan Mickey 15 times.
Yeah. I think he told us to say that. All right. Let's get...
All right, what's our thinker, Jared? Our thinker. What do we have to grow on?
This is from an account called @KyloIsSad. It is the Sad Kylo Ren account. If you're okay. For our listeners familiar with the new
Star
Wars.
Very legitimate NBA fan.
This isn't a reply to NBA. I actually didn't check what the reply was to, because I don't think we need it. Tweet is, it's a picture of shirtless Kylo looking like thick boy. Says, mm-hmm. I like the Raptors because Kyle Lowry is thick like me. And that's it. That's our thinker.
It really goes with the whole episode, honestly.
Yeah, that's why I kept it.
It pairs well.
So thank you, Sad Kylo Ren. He is thick like you. He might be thicker.
Oh, he's definitely thicker.
He's got a better ass for sure. So if you want to tweet at us, @UntitledHotTake. If you want to debate who has the best ass in the NBA, let's get into that.
Or or who has the best Suns team, in your opinion.
Yeah, give us your Suns. Let us know.
Let us know why you think it's me.
And we will see you online.